Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I am so good. I just got back from my top secret meeting that I can't share with you about, but I will say that I think I'm going to get picked pretty soon.
You're going to be picked to be one of the lonely ones?
I'm already a lonely one, so my application was definitely on the top. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to be let in into my secret club. Now, we meet every Mondays at 6, so I'm going to have to change our recording time.
Really peeking behind the curtain there to let people know when we record.
Yeah, well, you know, so I'm just going to tell you that I might not be able to show up because I have some more important things to do. And
then when I become different hours.
Yeah, and then when I become undead, then it's really going to, you know, be a conflict of timing for us.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to have to record only after sunset. So
I'm also one of the dummies, so I might die before our next record.
You're just going to be killed. So unless Buffy saves the day.
I'm just an extra. Welcome back to our Buffy coverage. We have survived another week.
Yes, and I'm so excited that we get to talk about Drusilla again and Spike again. Like, this was a really, really fun episode that I wasn't necessarily expecting. I feel like with a lot of these shows, Sarah, it has high highs, and the episodes after a really good episode tend to be a little bit of like a come down, I guess, like a cool down.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't expecting Lie to Me to be such a good episode.
It was a good episode. And I feel as though whenever I'm getting some backstory, I am hot in high interest because, as you know, I've been working very diligently at my family tree.
Yeah, your family tree got an update this episode.
Yeah, my family tree did get an update. The post-it is posting. Yes. It's currently on my door of my bedroom/office.
So. You keep it on the door?
Yeah, it's hung up.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's a very prominent place.
It's a very prominent. It's right underneath my Taylor Swift Reputation album. My record.
Yeah. High praise for Buffy.
I mean, I it's kind of like I have to have it easily accessible so that I can refer back to it at all times. But yeah, we did get like a little bit of an update. I think I have some clarification this episode as well. You know what I found interesting about this episode?
What?
We did not get the every second century a new slayer, blah, blah, blah. Like the Giles...
In every generation, that thing?
Yeah.
I guess we didn't.
Yeah. I wonder if we're out on it.
I don't think so. I just have a feeling that it's like always there, but I don't know why it wouldn't have been for this episode. But
I think maybe they're like, I think that people finally know.
They get that she's the chosen one by now.
Yeah, I think that we have learned our lesson. We know that she's the chosen one. We know something about generations. Now, I don't remember. I can't recite it for the life of me. I'm sure plenty of people can. But but it was not there. It was not available this episode.
Maybe they were like so eager to just jump into things. They're like, we got a lot to get through. We don't have time for the nonsense at the top.
No.
So we're jumping in. Because
we are jumping in.
We start off this episode with like... I don't know. I was really excited to see Drusilla first thing because I feel like her and Spike are the new hotness. It's like all I think about is what they're up to in these episodes.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Really, like, I find them to be captivating villains that I really want to know more about. So I was really excited to see Drusilla first thing. Didn't feel great about the child that was out in the dark on the playground without a parent or guardian nearby.
This is the ultimate latchkey kid. This kid got dropped off at the playground, was told that he was going to get picked up. Meanwhile, mom was going to buy like cocaine at the local, you know, bronze for adults back there and totally forgot to pick her kid up. He's like, my mom's picking me up. Dude, your mom is not picking you up. You're living at the playground right now, from now until forever.
Yeah. Yeah, you better get under that jungle gym because that's where your life is now.
Did Pat ever forget to pick you up?
No.
Of course not. You were the sparkle in Pat's eye.
I like to think so.
I don't think so. I think Robin forgot to pick me up a few times, maybe.
Typical.
Yeah. She says that she didn't, but I know she did.
Yeah.
I was the last one. It was horrible. It was raining. It was very traumatic.
Was it actually raining?
Or it was. It was raining. Okay. It was very traumatic.
This feels like revisionist history.
It happened. Yeah. I know this kid's plight.
Yeah.
He's stuck on the playground. Drusilla comes up and is like, do you want some candy? And
let me sing you a creepy ass lullaby.
Let me sing you what? Yeah. What will your mom sing when she finds your body? Totally normal question, Drew. Normal question.
Yeah. This is a sick as fuck lullaby. And Sarah, as a nail enthusiast, can I ask you about your thoughts on Drusilla's manicure? She's doing like a little bit of like a reverse French manicure where she has like black as the base and then white tips.
Well, now that you ask, I have to do a little bit of a look-see look.
Yeah, take a look at them.
Oh, it is.
They're gorgeous, and they fit the vibe.
Okay, yeah. So this is what I would call like a French tip. The base is black, and the tip is white. I would never get this.
I think it's really cool looking.
If it makes Drew happy, then I'm happy for her. I will also say that her nails are like a squoval.
Yes, love a squoval.
Yeah, they are.
I know you're an almond girly, but
I am an almond girly. But the Gen Z said that almond is out. But I think that we're ignoring
I just think you need to go with whatever your finger shape is.
That's what it is.
Your nails need to be almond shaped. That's just the way they want to be.
Yes. My nail tech Janine said I have the perfect fingers for the almond shaped nail.
And we trust Janine the Virgo. So
we do trust Janine, but Mimi's a little bit more time efficient.
Mimi's probably also not as fucking bossy as Janine was.
But also she doesn't give a shit about me. So
say you'd rather someone boss you around because they care than not give a shit at all.
Yes, I would.
See, I'm the opposite. Give me the person that doesn't even care, doesn't even know my name. Give me that person.
Beautiful. I think Mimi knows my name. Mimi, I think I told this story, but Mimi, I left one AirPod at Mimi's.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I don't know where this AirPod is.
I'll never get it back.
I'll never get it back. But the location says it was at Mimi's. And the thing was, is that like it, she went to Vietnam for an entire month. So I was without my AirPod for a while. And I was like, ugh, it's gone. And I lost it. The day I come back and Mimi is there and says, I think you lost something. I didn't even need to bring it up. Mimi kept my AirPod.
Mimi is incredible.
The whole time she kept my AirPod. Yep.
I love that.
And my nails don't break as much as it did with Janine.
Mimi is really a legend.
She's a legend. I'm going to have to break up with her, actually, in a week or two.
Oh, no. That's because you're moving. Well, because maybe there's another Mimi somewhere where closer to where
I'm sure there's Mimi aplenty.
Yeah.
I had to guess. I'm sure Drew went to Mimi.
Yeah. Speaking of Drew, can I also ask, it feels like, and maybe I feel like you would also notice this, it feels like Drusilla is always wearing the same sort of like nightgown, like a white, like silky nightgown.
Yeah, exactly. The nightgown that was drawn in the Angel's journal. Book. But yeah.
I feel like it's, what's interesting to me about it is it feels very childlike in appearance.
Yes.
And so I guess that obviously goes along with kind of the backstory we hear a little bit about this episode, but it was the first time I really noticed that, like, wow, she's wearing the same outfit again. And it always seems to be this like silky childish nightgown.
So, this is like an Empire waist, like A-line dress. And it actually reminds me a lot of the dresses that like Daphne wears in Bridgerton. So I think of that time. And I think you're right. Like, I think the girls are meant to look like virgin-like.
And she's very demure. Nearly,
yeah, very like nearly childish. To look like you're like pure, which is one of the reasons why Angel later on says that he was like obsessed with her. Yeah. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I wonder why Miss Girly can't get more than one dress.
That's the weird thing, right? Because we see Angel and Spike, like all of them seem to wear different outfits. So it's just really intriguing.
Maybe it's just like, she's like, I like, you know, the meme, like, I like it, so I got another color. And I like it, so I got another color. Like, maybe she just has like 10 of the same dress and it's just slightly different. I'm not quite sure.
I just think Drusilla is a bit eccentric based off of what Angel says, right? Like, he basically says, I drove her mad. And maybe this is just one of her quirks that she really likes this nightgown.
She rather spend her allowance on the dolls more so than on her nighties.
Dolls, please. Yes.
More dolls. So she's being a predator to the child, and Angel swoops in and is like, run home to your mama. Like, get out of here, kid.
Yeah. And it's very obvious that they know each other. And she seems like, I don't know, the way that she's interacting with him feels romantic, right? It feels like they have a history. And he's like, well, if you don't leave, like it's going to go badly. And when he says like you and Spike should leave, she says, or you'll hurt me. No, you can't. Not anymore.
Yeah. It's really hard to dissect a lot of this. And it's interesting because like, at first she says like, oh, do you remember like when mommy sang me lullabies? And he's like, yes, of course. For a millisecond, I was like, wait a minute.
It's a sister?
His sister? I don't think it is. It's not. But
no.
For a second I thought it was. And I was like, ooh, that's like a cute little Uno reverse. But I think... Okay, so what do we know about Drew? Drew is a woman. Not really.
Yes.
Drew is a person that got driven mad by Angel. More on that in a bit. Mm-hmm. And Drew, we know, got killed by Czechoslovakian or Czech Republic vampire hunters.
That was a rumor that she was killed in Prague.
And is sick. And
right, that's why no one suspects she's alive.
Maybe it's like, you can't hurt me anymore because like I'm already like undead, you know, like you've already hurt me.
I think that's what it is. Like, I think she's referencing when she was mortal and he hurt her versus she's now immortal. Or
case of like sexual assault.
I certainly hope not. Although when it comes to vampires, I do think a lot of the time, the way they portray vampires feeding is sexual in nature.
Yeah.
So
more on that later, because we're going to have to like very much dissect the wordage because it's a little confusing, but yeah, like Angel kind of gives her the out. It's like, if you want to live, then leave. You and Spike can leave, by all means, just go. And he's trying to reason with her. Meanwhile, Buffy is doing her nightly duties. She has her 5 to 9 after her 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And she sees Angel in her perspective, like flirting with a girl, because like Drusilla gets like a little like touchy feely.
The way she's like touching him, like on his heart, she knows that he has feelings for Buffy. She says like, oh, you stink of her, basically.
Stink of her.
And she like leans in, and we have an email that mentions this later from Joy, that basically the way in which she angles this lean in to kind of whisper in his ear, it looks like she kisses him from where Buffy is standing.
Yes, and that's
like,
true.
And so Joy thinks that this is on purpose, that this is like intentional, that so she leaned in that direction.
Drew can sense that the Slayer is near and she's fucking with Buffy.
That's what Joy was, insinuating. Yes, which I think is interesting and certainly could be true. We have no idea what, like, we know Drew tends to have like visions or something, but we don't know if she possesses any other powers, like, unlike most vampires.
I still don't really understand if certain vampires, if all vampires have their own special talents. Like, I am so sorry for referencing Twilight again, but we know in Twilight everybody had their own special powers, like, because Alice had visions herself, and then I thought like everybody else had something. Like,
not to our knowledge, like, it doesn't, Angel has a soul, but he's unique in that way.
He's unique.
Doesn't see, I mean, I don't, like, Darla, none of them seemed to have.
So, but then why is Drew special?
Well, she's a princess.
She's a princess.
Unless he just calls her princess by like a cute nickname or something. Mm-hmm. I think she's a princess. I think the other thing though, Sarah, is I don't think we're meant to know now.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean? Like, not. I don't think we missed anything, I guess is what I'm saying.
No. I don't think it's a case of we missed it. I'm just trying to speculate, like, why is she special? Because like when we first find out about her, like, I kind of thought that she was like more towards the top of the totem pole, but like Angel, whatever, like if Angel made her a vampire, then like why, like, whatever, I don't know. Maybe
how did she get special powers?
Maybe because, like, I don't know, I can't, I was about to like throw out something like maybe because she was like pure of heart or something initially. I'm not quite sure.
Like,
I'm
a virgin or something when she was turned?
Oh, only virgins get superpowers.
Brutal. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you remember that story? Speaking of, do you remember that story in True Blood? Did you watch True Blood?
No.
Okay, let me remind you of a story in True Blood. In True Blood, there's a character played by, gosh, I want to get her name right. I believe the actor is Deborah Ann Wool. And she plays a character named Jessica, and Jessica gets turned into a vampire when she's very young, like 16 young.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that because she's turned into a vampire as a virgin, whenever she has sex, it re-breaks her hymen every single time.
Oh my God.
Isn't that awful?
Oh my goodness. Jessica. Yeah.
I know, poor girl.
Jessica, your poor hymen.
Poor hymen for Jessica. Anyway, We get more cuteness between Miss Calendar and Giles. They're going out on a little date night.
The worst date that she could have possibly brought him on.
But the monster truck rally. This is so funny to me. The fact that he even went and stayed proves how much he likes her. But certainly this is a terrible idea. Giles would hate this.
I know. I don't know if she's just messing with him because, like, she has to know that he would not appreciate it.
I think she's testing him.
Oh, like, how far would you go? What's the craziest or, like, what is the most, like, for example, when Adam was trying to court me, he, like, fully agreed to go to the Taylor Swift movie Eras Tour with me. And he went. But like, I could not get him to go to, the Beyonce movie. Like, did Will do anything that like he would not do now when he was trying to date you?
Gosh, he probably did, but we also have a lot in common. So I don't know that there's anything that I would have really wanted to go to that would have been very much like, anything, it probably would have been, I convinced him to watch a specific show with me that he otherwise would not have watched.
Like what?
I mean, he won't watch Dawson's Creek.
What a hater.
That by that point, we've already been dating a long enough time where he was like, no, I don't feel the need to impress you anymore.
He was married to you.
I don't think we were married at that point. We were married at that point. You're right. Yeah. So he
started it really, in January 2021.
Yeah. So we were married.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has plans. So Giles, as much as I talk shit, I am very happy with Giles because Giles was like, you look beat. Why don't you take the night off?
Yeah, because Buffy's all sad because she saw Drusilla and Angel and she thinks there's something going on between them. And Giles is talking about like he still doesn't know why Spike is here. He's trying to research, but he hasn't found anything yet. And I really like Giles. See, this is what I'm saying when I feel like you can really feel the like parent-child sort of relationship here where he says, oh, like, I'm, you know, he looks like worried about her. You look really glum. And he even, like, it feels very daddish to be like, well, you can spend the day with Angel. Like, yeah.
Why don't you go on a good old date to Mickey D's? I definitely saw and felt this. And I feel like it has more to do with Buffy, the other episode when Buffy went to the fraternity cult and like she lied to him because she didn't want to tell him like that she was like burnt out or just wanted to be a kid. Like, I think that like he finally took that in and listened and was like, okay, she's a person. And like all people get burned out. She needs a break. So if you're looking beat or if you need a night off, like go ahead, especially because Buffy had been like surveying the lands for the last few days.
Yeah. This is a really good point that he's probably worried that if he does push her, she'll lie to him again. And he'd rather be open with her and have her come to him with problems than lie. That's a really, really good point I hadn't thought of. And then this next scene where we're in class and Cordelia is like defending Marie Antoinette.
Oh my God, this was so good. She was just like, Marie Antoinette is a fighter. Not only did she have beautiful clothes and great makeup, but she was so kind to all of her her underlings. Like she even let them have cake. Like, what a woman of the people.
I loved her saying she worked really hard to look that good. And people just don't appreciate that.
People don't appreciate that. She knows. And then Buffy and Willow are passing notes. They're talking about.
Did you get like PTSD about this? Did you ever get caught passing notes in class?
Absolutely. I did in Spanish class.
Yeah. Did the teacher read it aloud? What did they do?
She didn't read it out loud, but she read it. And I was talking shit about her. So
no, that's worst case. Oh my God. I got my heart just started racing even thinking about that.
Yeah. And it wasn't even in Espanol. because I wasn't very not. No, because I wasn't good in Espanol. But yeah, she didn't like me for the rest of the semester.
I mean, I wonder why, because you were talking shit.
Yeah, I was a big note passer, if you can imagine that.
Of course, I definitely can. I don't know that I wasn't a big note passer during class. What my friends and I would do, so there were two different things we would do. In middle school, we had notebooks, and it would be like, this is my notebook with my friend Melissa, and we would like write notes to each other and like pass them between classes, like, here's the notebook and give it to my friend. Yes. Or we would do the thing where you'd write a note and then fold it up into one of those little squares.
Yes.
And then pass it, but it was always usually passing between classes, not during.
Yeah, no, I had notebooks, I had notes, I had folded up pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering what I was doing in class, it was definitely not studying or paying attention. It was writing notes. Now, I don't know what was so important that I had to share with my friends. Yeah,
exactly.
Like nothing in my, I cannot think of one thing that was important enough for me to not wait until either lunch or like free period or after mm-hmm. school, but it seemed like vital information. Now,
yeah,
Buffy and Willow are like talking about Angel meeting up with this mystery girl, and the Buffy was like, she's pretty, she was wearing a pretty dress, she's brunette. Mm-hmm. And Willow asks a great question and was like, was she a vampire? And if only Buffy still used her special vampire detecting skills.
Yes, use your vampy senses, Buffy, please.
Yeah, yeah. Seems like they're long gone, but she's like, I'm not quite sure because they seemed very friendly. And
to be a good indicator that they met in the cover of night on a playground, and not for nothing, Drusilla looks pale as fuck.
Drusilla looks like a sickly
she's a little anemic
Victorian Buffy. Girl.
Yeah, come on, use your big girl brain, Buffy.
No, Buffy's like, I'm not quite sure, she just looks like another hot teenager that he's flirting with.
Yeah, this is where I think Buffy's teenagerness hurts her, is that she can't see what's very clearly obvious to most people.
Yeah, because like she's just like, you're talking to a woman, and that means that you're in love with her and not in love with me.
Oh, so brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's in a little bit of a pouty mood. And in comes Chris from Dawson's Creek. Did you recognize him immediately, Sarah?
No.
No?
Of course I didn't. I have face blindness, so I guess.
This guy, I recognized him, but it took me until, it may have been, shout out to Tom Palmer, I think, who referenced him to us. Chris is the guy whose parents were rich and they did that like overnight study session at his house, and they jumped in the pool together.
So fun. What
they did, like the sex quiz or something.
Yes. Good times. That was a good episode.
I'm also pretty sure he wanted to try to have a threesome with Jen or something.
Who wouldn't?
Anyway. So he's here. His name is Ford in the show. And it turns out, and I found the timing of this, Sarah, to be really funny, because we literally just covered the Buffy movie. And so when I saw him, I thought possibly for a hot second that he was going to be the motorcycle dude that she like hooks up with at the end of the, what is it? Luke something or other that Luke she hooks Perry. Up with. Luke Perry, thank you, that she hooks up with at the end of the movie. But he's not. She did go to school with him for 7 years, I think she said. So they know each other from LA.
Yeah, I actually thought the same exact thing as you. And I was kind of hoping, if only, I mean, they could have just done a cute little nod and been like, my name is Pike. And like,
yes.
People, if you knew, you knew. If you didn't, you didn't. But I think it's, I'm pretty confident it's a different guy, especially because the movie is not canon in the world of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series. But I kind of got, and I don't know why I wasn't suspicious right away, because like in my head, I'm like, you know what? Like this group needs a fourth. Like we need another cute guy.
Oh, you thought he was here to stay.
I was kind of hoping, because like I really liked their vibe. at the beginning in this scene. And I should have known, because like, you're not going to introduce somebody that's new, like 5-7 episodes in. That's like, I don't know. I guess I should have known, but I was kind of hopeful. I was like, is this going to be like a fourth? Because you know what was funny? I totally had forgotten that Xander and Willow had another friend that died in like the pilot or the second episode.
Oh yeah, like he became a vampire, that guy.
Yeah, I totally forgot, because like I think that we were expecting this to be like a group of four, besides Angel. But
yeah, no, he doesn't count because he's a vampire, so he doesn't go to school with them. No, I guess so. I wasn't. Let me try to think about exactly how I felt. I was a little suspicious of him, but I mostly thought, oh, he's just here as a second love interest option for Buffy to like cause friction between her and Angel. And then when he said, oh, like, no, I moved here to finish out school and on and on and on. And I was like, okay, this is a little weird. His dad got a transfer, whatever, whatever. And we find out that Buffy had like a big crush on him when they were in middle school and he didn't give her the time of day. And here we are yet again. Jealous Xander is in the house. And
doesn't Buffy have any fat friends?
Xander, go fuck yourself. Okay. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I think Xander's going to get over it eventually.
When? Are we going to have to wait 4 seasons? Because seriously, what are we doing?
No, I think that like by the end of the season, he'll probably get a girlfriend. Maybe Cordelia.
I want in this world. I want him to get a girlfriend so that he will stop obsessing about Buffy.
Yeah. I mean, like, that would be nice. That would be nice. It's just, I think it's just like a rinse and repeat, you know? Like, it's getting tiresome.
Yeah.
But it's whatever. Yeah, he is jealous of the new guy. He was also jealous of Angel earlier. So it's just another day, another bout of jealousy.
Yeah.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buffy invites him to go to the Bronze later. They end as though we actually flash right to the Bronze, where they're all kind of playing pool together. And Buffy shows up and there's Angel. And Buffy, I can't be mad. This is such teenagery stuff. To be angry at someone, not tell them why you're angry at them, but give them like a little bit of the cold shoulder and just let them try to figure it out. And Sarah, the worst thing that he does, the most criminal offense, is that he lies straight to her face about what he did the night before.
Yeah, because she's fishing. Like, she wants to know who Drew is. She wants to know what the situation is with someone that he's interested in. And she asks him, like, what were you up to last night? And he's like, oh, I just stayed in. I was just, like, reading my books. And she was like, really? Like, you didn't do anything? You didn't see anybody? And he's like, nope, I didn't see a person.
The minute she asks, you didn't see anybody, you should know you were caught. Like, bro, you're how old now? What, hundreds of years old? Come on now, read the room.
Yeah, he's like, I saw nobody. I just read my books. Have you read this good book? It's called Huckleberry Finn. It's a new one. He's like, this is a new literature. It's a new one. And she's like, oh no. She's like, you know, Angel, this has been around for millions of years.
Yeah,
like, no,
yeah.
I found it in the new section of Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Buffy's reading Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah, Buffy's like, you know what? I love this Babysitter's Club book. She's like, can you believe that Claudia is not allowed to have candy? She has to hide it.
That they're detectives. No one ever suspected.
She's like, can you believe that Stacy has type 1 diabetes? This is so relatable. Like, no.
Buffy does a little bit of flaunting. Oh, I will say, as much as I hate Xander, and I do, I will give him credit for making me laugh when Ford sees Buffy talking to Angel and they're like, oh, he says, oh, who's that? He's not in school, right? He looks older than her. And Xander says, you're not wrong. And then when he shakes Angel's hand and he says, oh, you have cold hands. And then from the back, Xander's like, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Xander is definitely the epitome of the peanut gallery. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's but got Buffy a lot wants, to say about nothing.
Seriously. Buffy wants to make Angel jealous. And so she like basically blows off Angel to hang out with Ford. And she's just like, oh, Ford, do you want to like, I'm hot. Do you want to like take a walk? And Angel is so confused. There is like literally nothing happening behind those eyes. He's just like, wait, what?
He's a genius. What are you talking about? I am so for Angel, but I'm also very for him just being a himbo.
Yes, I'm fine with both. Are we allowed to classify him as himbo status yet? Because I feel like he's like pretty much a himbo at this point.
He's a himbo. I mean, we really got to learn more about him later. I'm just going to be like a huge advocate for him in a few scenes. But yeah, like he's like, I'm obsessed with him. Anyway, he is confused because he is normally used to Buffy drooling all over him. But Buffy goes out with Ford and has like a little chit chat. And she hears what I would classify as like the vampire noise. Like apparently vampires make a noise when they show up someplace. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's like a little bit of like a crash with like electricity thrown in for fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like when people get beamed in Star Trek. It's like some sort of noise.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or like going back to like Harry Potter, you know, like when they
disapparate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a similar sound. And she knows what it is. She's well aware of what that sound is. And so she asks Ford, oh, go get my purse. Like I have to, you know, whatever. I'll wait out here. Sarah, as soon as I found out that she knew him from her other school, I had assumed he knew she was the Slayer because, girl, you like set the gym on fire and killed a bunch of vampires. Like, I just felt like it must have been known that in LA she was the Slayer.
But also, we learned very early on in the series that because vampires and Slayers are such like an abstract theory, people seem to get like amnesia around it. And they're like, people try to trick their brains into thinking that what they saw wasn't real.
Right. That was in like season one, I think, right? They mentioned
yeah,
that.
So yeah. I guess she's so. Just used to everybody just like making up excuses for things that they saw that were unnatural. But he is fully like, you don't have to lie to me. Like, I know what's going on. I know that you're the Slayer. And she's surprised. And I guess I once again should have been suspicious of this, but I was not. One of these days I'm going to just like catch on to the tricks, but
no, we haven't had it confirmed yet, but I feel like you immediately caught on to the Drusilla as a drawing in the journal. That you were very quick with that.
Yeah, no, like that I understood, but that's because like, I mean, that was like obvious. Like, I just think that like I need to be more suspicious of these randos. Of
new characters, yeah.
Because I think that especially because it's like Monster of the Week or like episodic stuff. Like,
yeah.
Anybody that's new is probably a baddie.
Very fair assessment. And I love when Buffy is doing her little breakdown with Willow after. Willow is so adorable. She goes, it's neat. Is it neat?
Willow. Okay. Like Willow was really loving the girl talk this episode. And I actually thought that Willow is very endearing all episode. Like,
oh, love this Willow this episode for sure.
Yeah. Is this the first time we see Willow's room? Because of course I have comments.
I mean, I have plenty of comments as well. Yes. This is the first time we've seen it. What did you think about her white wicker bed frame?
Horrible, but of the times.
Very of the times. At least 5 or 6 stuffed animals on her bed.
Ugh. Have I ever complained to you about stuffed animals? I just think stuffed animals are so fucking stupid.
I don't think you've ever complained to me about stuffed animals.
I hate stuffed animals.
And is this a childhood thing or just as an adult you hate them?
As an adult. I just don't understand when adults hold on to stuffed animals. It's like you're an adult.
I think it could be two things. I think either you collect them, right? They're just memorabilia that you like to display.
Yeah.
Or I think another common thing is it's a comforting thing from your childhood. You're always slept with one stuffed animal. And so you still do. That's the, I don't know. Those are the things I can think of.
So Willow's stuffed animals consist of one brown teddy bear, one white teddy bear, I think a dog and a snake.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And she has a hubby pillow on her bed. She also has a picture of her and Buffy beyond by your bedside.
And her and Xander.
Oh, and her and Xander.
Yeah. And are these elephant slippers? I think they're elephants.
Yeah. I mean, they're some sort of animal slippers.
They really were in overdrive to hit home that Willow is the child of the group this episode. Between the stuffed animals and the fluffy slippers and how she acts when Angel's in her bedroom, they very much were Willow is 12.
Willow is a child, but do not worry. Now we see Ford come in to a creepy area and he needs the password. And it's what's going on here?
Yeah, a little speakeasy action.
A little speakeasy. And we find out that Ford is the president of the We Want to Be a Vampire Club.
Yes, yes. These people are obsessed with vampires. And they really, they dress in what they think vampires dress in, which this one guy who has a code name of Diego is wearing a Party City vampire outfit. Costume. It's really bad.
He looks like a Vegas magician, actually, I feel, with the cape. The cape and the sequins. He has sideburns. And Diego is hey, what's the sitch? Are we going to get anywhere with this? Ford has a plan. He says, only true believers are going to get to go to the next step of the righteous. And he recites some creepy vampire movie, which is playing on the wall. Basically, he's obsessed and he is there to find the vampires and become a vampire. All these people are.
This is his goal. Did you notice? Because I didn't notice until my rewatch that while Ford is there, he pops a pill. And the guy asks what it is, and he says it's Ritalin. But knowing now what we know, what we find out later, that he's sick, I have to assume this was medication for his illness.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't really put a lot of thought into it, but now that you say that, I would say that is probably a good call.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very obvious that, because he even is reciting word for word this vampire movie that's on the TV. He's a little bit of a obsession with vampires.
Yes. Yeah. Now, horrible that it has come out all over the country that Sunnydale is the epicenter of vampires. No one's keeping on the DL, but you would think that they would. But we got my favorite scene of the episode.
Me too.
Willow is, I don't know, doing her little things on her bed,
routine.
Yeah, the little kickies, and she hears a knock at the door, and it is Angel, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, a boy
has come to my room." I'm not supposed to have boys in my room.
Yeah, boys in my room. He's like, "I promise that I won't try anything." Willow says, "Okay, then I let you in," because he's not allowed in without her permission.
Yeah.
And he is there because he does not trust Ford and he wants Willow to do her little computer hacking.
Yeah, I love this. I want you to track someone down on the net.
Yeah, tell me the net. You know, you are such an advanced computer hacker. I am a lonely guy. All I know is how to read this crusty old book that I found. He's like, "Please search for him in the school database." We see more of Willow's room.
She has some, what are those little things called? Pendants? What are those called?
The triangle things on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lava lamp. I see all abstract sorts art. Of tchotchkes. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a big tchotchke girly.
Big tchotchke girly, snow globe. Yeah. So she's going to search on the net. And while she's doing that, he starts to open up, which I love. Oh my God, wait. Before that, I also love how he's like, I need your help. And she's like, help? Okay. Like, help with homework? Oh, no. Probably not help with homework because you're old. But what do you need help with? Because, like, you already know stuff. And he's like, I just need you to help me look up Ford on the internet, on the net. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Willow say, if I say something you don't want to hear, do you promise not to bite me?
He's like, yes.
Really, you don't trust him by now? Mm. But, yeah, I really like this moment because – okay, I think part of the reason Angel was able to open up to Willow, first of all, I feel like Willow is the most approachable of the Scoobies.
I think
she feels
so.
Like someone you can open up to, that can keep a secret, that also is just like someone you can bounce things off of. And on top of that, I think it helps that in the way in which they're seated, where Willow is on her computer, she's facing away from Angel, I also think helps because it's a little bit easier when someone's not like staring at you to open up to them. And I really liked the scene. He says like, oh, are you going to tell me that I'm jealous? And she says, well, you do sometimes get that way. And he says, I never used to. Things used to be pretty simple. 100 years just hanging out, feeling guilty. I really honed my brooding skills, which I got to give him credit. I did love that line because at least they're like addressing it. At least they're admitting it, you know?
I loved that line. Like that made me – any little doubts that I had about Angel totally evaporated at that point because I just love that he's self-aware. Like he knows that he's broody. The show knows that he's broody and moody. And like it is very stereotypical – vampire that has morals to just be brooding and like depressed the whole time, that he has this like huge weight on his shoulders. It was great, and the fact that he said that was really funny.
Yeah And he's like, then she comes along and I get jealous, and he says it's just in my gut that I don't trust this guy. And he's correct not to trust him, because Willow says, oh, this is weird, I've hacked into the school's database, as she usually does. They really need
She went on sunnydalehigh.com, she went to directory, and then she went
listed there,
the drop down menu was like, and then it said student directory. Then she went control F and typed in Billy Fordham. She's like, I cracked the net.
Yeah.
He's not so there. Funny.
So funny. But yeah, he's not listed there anywhere. And so she's like, well, that's a little weird. But then Willow's mom, she hears her mom coming, and she's like, Ack!
Not mom. Mrs. Rosenblatt or whatever her name is, Rosenberg, was almost about to catch a guy in the room.
Yeah. So she kicks him out. Wait, and
one question about guys in the room. Did you have any rules about guys in the room?
The only rules I had about guys in the room was that when there were guys in my room, the door had to be open.
Yeah, I had the same rule.
Yep.
But
also,
guess what?
I don't know if I ever told you this, but so my family's house is a raised ranch, meaning that my bedroom wasn't like, you couldn't just open the window and go out. Like it was like a, you know, a 10-foot drop, 8-foot drop, whatever. My dad specifically on purpose planted rose bushes underneath my window.
Wow.
So that if anyone tried, they would get like hit by a bunch of thorns.
Gosh, Jeffrey Sr. is like no joke.
Yeah.
You know what I would have to say about that?
What?
Blowjobs can be pretty silent.
What does that have to do? What? You mean with the door open or you mean with the rose bushes? What? Never. Never in my – I wouldn't – you know me, Sarah. I don't even like kiss people in front of my parents because I think it's weird. I certainly wouldn't be given a BJ in my bedroom with the door wide open.
You could do hand stuff under the covers really easily.
The thing is, we almost never were hanging out at my house because he was older and we had like free reign at his mom's house. So we could do whatever we wanted.
Where was his mom?
Working, not home. I don't know. My parents are always home. They're homebodies. So
Anyway. Right. I had the same thing. Door open. Had to be the door open.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the rules. And it was mostly because my brother was nasty. And so they were like, we institute the door open policy.
Who is he bringing to his room?
Well, when he had a girlfriend, her. Anyway.
Interesting.
Angel asks Willow not to tell Buffy about this. And the problem is, as much as Willow is a great sounding board for your life's problems, Willow is a terrible liar.
Mm-hmm. She's a nervous liar. Like, she lies, but then she does the thing where she like overspeaks and is like, I'm gonna do work in the computer lab on school. I have work, you know, today because I'm at school, so I can't hang out. Oh, hi Ford, blah blah blah. She is very suspicious, but actually Buffy's not very suspicious of her because she just thinks that Willow drank too much coffee.
Yeah, I love that she has this built-in excuse of like, that's how she gets when she drinks caffeine. So yes. She skitters off. She's out of there. Giles comes up and Buffy reveals to Giles that Ford knows that she's the Slayer, which Giles seems a bit uncomfortable with, understandably so, because it's like, this is a big deal. Like, I hope you didn't just tell him this to like score cool points. And Buffy's like, no, he already knew. I just thought this was interesting. Again, feeling very dad behavior of like, be careful, you know, don't go telling everybody about this.
Yeah. And also watch her behavior. Like, it's his job that, she keeps her identity secret. It seems like in this iteration of Buffy, like, everyone pretty much knows that she's the Slayer. There was a big deal in the movie about keeping her identity to herself, because once it was revealed, then everybody went after her. But it seems like Spike knows that she's the Slayer.
And I'm a little like, I guess I got a little confused in this next scene that, like, obviously by this point we're like, okay, Ford is suspicious as fuck, and they're walking on the school campus and then they see two vampires running by. I was surprised Buffy didn't just tell him to stay behind. Like, it was really interesting to me that she gives him this cross and he already has a stake on him, like, ready to go. I really wasn't expecting her to. I was expecting her to be like, go to the car, I'll meet you there in a minute or something, you know?
I guess it's the fact that she's known him for 7 years. If he was just like a new boy that she didn't know, she would probably be a little less trusting of him. But
yeah.
They do spot vampires. She takes care of one, and Ford gets one on the ground, is about to stake her, and he says to her, you know what I want, give it to me.
And yeah, tell me what I want to know and I'll let you go, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't say I'll let you go because we...
No, he does. He says, you've got one chance to live, tell me what I want to know and I'll let you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, because he does end up letting her go, but he at least knows how they, like, what happens when you stake a vampire. Because when Buffy comes back up after staking the other one, he's like, oh, I killed her. She just turned into dust.
Yeah. And I feel like Buffy is, like, very pleasantly surprised, probably because, like, he's, like, the first guy that things seem really simple with. Like, she feels like she can trust him. He's not like off put by the fact that she's a Slayer. He can hold his own. Like, I feel like he's checking a lot of boxes, especially because I'm sure she feels like she'll never have like a normal relationship because of her job.
Yeah, it's, I think you're right. I think part of her is a little surprised, like, wow, this guy can really handle himself very well. And part of her is probably like, this is so much easier. Like, I'm not dating a vampire. I'm dating someone who can help me slay, who understands my job, and that I don't have to lie to, right? You have to imagine that it's so freeing to be with a guy and not have to lie to him about what she's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it is. I'm sure I would feel really free, but yeah, we don't get to see a body, obviously, because he let her go. Mm-hmm. Willow, Angel, and Xander go to the vampire exclusive cult club and they're doing some investigating, and they figure out pretty quickly like what the situation is, and they are like, huh, like this seems a little suspicious.
Yeah, this was so funny. They get in by saying they were friends of Ford's, and Angel is immediately like so irritated. He's like, these people are so freaking stupid. Like, they're ridiculous. They have no idea what it's really like to be a vampire. And I really love the moment where he's just like, oh, they're so ridiculous. Look at how they're dressed. And then someone walks by wearing like literally the same outfit as him.
So good. He's like, they don't understand. Like they dress like they're like idiots, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Somebody literally just comes up in the same exact outfit. It was so good. It was so good.
It was really funny. And Angel calls them fools, right? Because they're like, oh, if you're interested in the lonely ones, which is what they call vampires. He's getting really nasty with her because they don't understand. They like romanticize what it's like to be a vampire. Yeah. And they don't know how bad it is and how like not all of them are like Angel. Angel is like the exception to the rule. Most of them are blood hungry monsters, not vampires with a soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating. And I'm sure it's also like, you are literally mocking me. Like, you are dressing up as me. However, you have like zero idea the weight that and the burden it puts on me to be a vampire. So
yeah,
he does not like these people, and the wannabe vampires are pretty offended by the dismissal that Angel is doing, and they're basically just not keeping their profile low, which was the one thing that they needed to be doing.
Yeah, they're talking very loudly like in this public area, and they're saying like, oh, this is kind of weird that Ford, who's like really good friends with Buffy, who's the Slayer, is hanging out with a bunch of people who want to be vampires, and Diego overhears them as they're leaving, and we're like, oh, that's not good.
It is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. But Buffy, I was really happy to see that Buffy is like taking the threat of these vampires on the school premises seriously, because she calls Giles, even though he was on his date with Miss Calendar at a monster truck rally.
He's probably like, please, please, somebody, anybody, please get me out of this. I need to get out of this.
The way he calls monster truck rallies, the nitro burning funny cars. Giles, I love you so much.
Giles, you are not cool enough to be with Miss Calendar.
So ridiculous. And Buffy does say like, oh, I sent Ford home, but he did get like a vampire on his first try, which is really cool. And in that moment, we have like all of Giles's books out and everything, all the research he's been doing on Spike and Drusilla. And Buffy sees a photo of Drusilla and she's like, who is this? And Giles says she's called Drusilla, a sometime paramour of Spike's. And she was killed by an angry mob in Prague. And Buffy is like, actually, no, she's alive. Now, I know you're big on the theory. And I do agree with you that in the journal, the drawing of the woman is Drusilla. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of strange that Buffy didn't recognize that, because I feel like the pose that Drusilla is, you know, the way she's sitting and everything in the photo kind of feels similar to the drawing.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that maybe it's just like out of context, and, you know, she's more focused on the fact, like, does this person, does Angel have feelings for this person? Are they intimate? Like, she's kind of coming at this, like, not so much of like, is this a vampire that I should be fighting? And more so is like, is this a person that Angel is secretly in love with?
That's true. Again, it's like the teenager stuff getting in the, which is why it's so complicated and intriguing, is all the teenagery stuff really fogs her brain to some of the more obvious things in front of her.
I feel like that would make sense in that regard. She just like, and also she's like, what, like, obviously this person is significant because she was talking to Angel.
Yeah.
This picture's in Angel's book. Like, this seems, or is it Spike's book? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, the book gets stolen.
I think it's a book about Spike, because that's who Giles was researching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it gets stolen by the vampire that Ford let get away. And Buffy's like, wait a minute, that's the vampire that Ford said he killed. Again, like very bright platinum blonde hair. Like it's a very obviously the same
very
person.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get like a really fun, I love whenever we get to see Drusilla and Spike together. Drusilla is so fascinating to me. She's singing, like she's like asking this dead bird in a cage to sing for her. She's, yeah. Don't you love me anymore?
You know who it reminds me of a little bit?
Who?
Critical Role's Laudna.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're in both undead. They're both creepy. I can see it.
You know, she talks to her little rat.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. I'm saying that because I've only watched like 20 episodes of this season. So she could be totally different than what I initially thought of. But
I can see it.
It's I really enjoyed this scene as well, especially because like this was the first time that I felt like Spike was kind of like over Drusilla's shit.
Yeah, he's getting frustrated with her. She's very preoccupied with this bird, and he knows she went out and met up with Angel, and he wants information.
He's
very jealous. We have two very jealous people who want to know information about this Angel Drusilla meetup. And he says, what did you guys talk about? Old times, childhood pranks. It's a little off, you two so friendly, him being the enemy. And Drusilla is like, again, very preoccupied with the bird. And Spike's just like, the bird's dead, Drew. You left it in a cage and you didn't feed it. And now it's dead. Just like the last one.
And doesn't she whine a little bit? She's like,
yeah. She's like, oh.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. She's like, she's just so upset because
he treats her like a child in a lot of ways. Like,
that's
interesting.
True. That's
true. She has a childlike quality about her. What she reminds me of is almost like a Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka, where. Mm. She wants to get her way, and she will have a little bit of a temper tantrum if she doesn't. And she holds a lot of power, but it's terrifying because she is so unpredictable. You just never know if she's going to snap is how I feel, because he treats her with such kid gloves, you know?
Yeah. Like Dumbledore's sister.
Yes. Yeah, everything is Harry Potter.
I'm sorry. I'm like, as you know, I'm like, I'm just not that good of a nerd at times, but I did read those Harry Potter books.
Yeah, you can hang your hat on that.
I can hang my hat on that. But no, but like, you know, having a lot of power with not much control. But does she have control? I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't really know like how there she is. I really don't know.
Yeah, but he does apologize to her. He offers to get her a new bird that's not dead.
I'm sorry. I saw a bird on
sucking her finger. Oh okay,
no. I saw a bird on TikTok that only likes to sing "Shake It Off." It was great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's like
that would get old.
Shake it off. It was
that would get
so
old
fun.
After like 2 minutes, I think.
No, and like the owner of the bird was like, hey, like, do you want to sing like a different song? And it was like, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Aww. And the bird was like, shake it off. So funny.
Oh my gosh. Ford gets in and Spike is like, what the hell is going on here? I have security. Why didn't they get you? Ford is like fucking jizzing himself over this dungeon. He's so into it. He's like, oh my god, this is great. And he's like, oh, aren't you supposed to say this and that because of tradition and blah blah blah. It's like, all right, Ford, like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, he's having way too much fun in here. And basically Spike is like, why do I not have good security? Like, who the fuck is on watch duty? And the guy is basically like, you know, acting it up. Ford's acting it up. And Spike is like, I'm going to murder you. And he goes, I want you to make me a vampire. And the reason why you're going to consider it and do it is because I can get you the Slayer. So basically he's leveraging Buffy for an opportunity to be turned. And notice how the deal is not me and my like 30 friends to get turned. It's very like me-centric.
Yeah. Yep. And at the same time, the blonde vampire that he let go brings in the book that Giles had about Spike. So this is really dangerous. Now, obviously, what happens later is very dangerous. But to me, it's also very dangerous that like Spike knows that Giles and Buffy know certain things about him. Because they had a little bit of a one-up over him knowing certain things. But now that he knows they know, it's not as valuable.
That is information that would have been better locked up in the sex cage.
Yeah, really. Put it in the cage, people. Come on.
The security was bad.
Yeah. Angel goes to see Buffy because he's like, he wants to tell her about Ford. And this freaking scene. So he says, oh, he's not what he seems. And he tells Buffy that like Willow helped him, Xander helped him. And Buffy feels, I think, a little betrayed by her friends that they helped Angel and didn't tell her, all going behind her back to help out with Ford, who she thought she trusted.
It's like when all of your friends go to the movies without you and you want to see that movie, but you didn't get the invite.
Yeah. Yeah. And Buffy like immediately changes the subject. She, I think in her mind, she's like, how dare you involve my friends in a secret and not tell me and also keep this other secret about Drusilla?
It's rough. She is valid to be angry about all of this.
Yeah. And she says, don't lie to me. I'm tired of it. Angel says, some lies are necessary. Sometimes the truth is worse. You live long enough, you find that out. And she's, I could take the truth. And this scene escalates so quickly, Sarah, because Angel says, after Buffy says, I could take the truth, Angel says, do you love me?
I mean, what do you think? Why do you think that he went there? Like, is he like, do you love me? Because if I tell you something, like, will you still stay here after I reveal all my deepest, darkest secrets to you?
Yeah, I think he's getting ready to like be extremely vulnerable with her. And so he needs a little bit of security.
Yeah.
However, literally in this same episode earlier, Buffy doesn't even know if they're dating. And like, not that you can't love someone without dating them, but like, this man is so cryptic and broody and moody and says like two sentences at a time. Like, how does she love him? I know this is like they're teenagers and everything.
What do you mean? Of course she loves him.
She barely knows him.
They've
been on like a single date, if that.
They have saved lives together. They have fought vampires together. They've saved the world together. They hang out at like midnight. I'm sure we don't see all of their conversations.
I think that's valid enough for like. But in my opinion, and again, this also could be because she's a teenager, where I think I was this way too, where you think you love someone when you're a teenager because your emotions are so big, right? Like they feel so big. Everything feels dramatic when you're that age.
Yeah.
Not saying teenagers can't love people. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's more of, I think sometimes love gets a little bit mistaken because you're young and feelings feel very big at that time. And so she says, I love you. I don't know if I trust you. And very fair distinction.
Yeah. I thought that was very fair.
Yeah. And he says, maybe you shouldn't do either. And Buffy, again, I love Buffy because she is very strong and she is very vocal and will stick up for herself. She says, maybe I'm the one who should decide. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Good for Buffy for, number one, making that distinction. Number two, vocalizing it.
Yeah. But this is where we get a little bit more backstory for Angel, where he says that he did really, like, we know he did some really bad things when he first became a vampire. And he said, Drusilla was the worst. She was an obsession of mine. She was pure and sweet and chaste. And Buffy says, and you made her a vampire. And he said, first, I made her insane. I killed everybody she loved, visited every mental torture on her I could devise. and she eventually fled to a convent. And on the day she took her holy orders, I turned her into a demon.
This was kind of crazy. For what? Because I'm sure, like, it's basically like he played with his food, right?
Right. So this is before he got a soul. So it seems like as a vampire, he was obsessed with her. And this is what makes it, I feel like we're getting more points in the direction of it is Drusilla, like the drawing of Drusilla, because she's so like pure and chaste and all of that, right? But yeah, he tortured her. The interesting thing, and I don't know if I'm misunderstanding this, is there a difference between a demon and a vampire? He says, I turned her into a demon. Is that just like a turn of phrase?
No, in this world, vampires are demons.
Okay. That's what I was confused about. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this a distinction? Like, should I know? Because, you know, she has powers and everything. So I was like, okay, is there a difference here?
I don't understand how did you not pay attention to Giles in the very first.
There's a lot of lore in this show. I can only carry so much.
You are supposed to listen to Giles when he talks. Every single word. You are not supposed to fall asleep. How dare you confuse the lore of this show?
Yeah. So what was your, because this obviously is a big update to your family tree. So how did you feel about this information?
I mean, I thought it was very interesting. I think that I'm just like, you know, I'm trying to like sort it out. So like he like came across her. He was obsessed with her. Now, the thing is that it kind of contradicts what he has previously said, because like assuming that like she was actually like a princess or somebody that was of like, you know, like aristocratic background, that's the type of person that he didn't like. But then again, she was pure. So like maybe he was different from, she was different from like the other girls.
Also, this was 200 something years ago and he was a vampire without a soul at that point. Mm-hmm. Right.
So he was just, he came across her and like he was obsessed with her. Like he had to have her. And I'm sure that he wanted maybe for her to be his like partner, vampire wife, like he wanted her. So, but then it's like, then just for fun, he like fucked around with her and like killed like you said, everybody.
Play with his food. Yeah.
Hmm. I mean,
the only other question I have, and I'd have to go back and revisit some of the lore to make sure I understand this, but do we remember exactly why? I know he was given a soul as punishment. But do we remember, like, who did that to him?
I don't remember.
Because I'm wondering if it had something to do with Drusilla.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know why. And I was going to ask you that question earlier. Like, we know he has a soul. How did he get this soul? We've heard that it was some sort of a curse, which is, like, you know.
Yeah, he was cursed to basically live with knowing what he's done. What, but the then,
yeah, like who cursed him? Is there like a higher vampire order? Is it because?
Well, you have to imagine that like what he did to Drusilla is like particularly awful.
Yeah, but why would they care? Like, I feel like the thing is that you would only get punished for betraying another vampire. Like,
well, that's what I'm wondering if
our full reign of like do whatever the fuck you want.
That's why I'm wondering if it has something to do with Drusilla. Like, was she someone else's pet, if you will? Or, you know what I mean? Like, or was there some higher up who was like, Drusilla's off, you know, off limits. And if you fuck with her, then you're going to be cursed. Or I don't know. I don't remember. But
I don't know. He killed everybody that she ever loved.
That he knows of, right?
Mm-hmm. And then she was going to become a nun, which she would be such a good nun.
You're ridiculous, right?
Such a good nun. And then on the day she was going to take her vows at the Coventry, he turned her into a vampire. Once again, like just for kicks and giggles. Like I am going to, like on your most holiest day, I am going to make you a vampire. Like, but then like, of course, then what happened afterwards? Like, did she feel that, did he like put her on house arrest and like keep her in, and like maybe that continued being like a prisoner? But then like, so then Drew made Spike.
Right. Huh. It feels like she, I mean, the other thing I wonder is, right, we know that he says he drove her mad, right? Like, he's the reason that she is the way she is. It makes me wonder if there's like a cycle of abuse, if you will. Like, I don't really know a better way to put it, but did she do something similar to Spike? You know, like, I think there's a couple different ways it could have happened with Spike. I think there's a possibility that she drove him a little bit mad and then they kind of were just like mad together, or, you know, so she's kind of continuing what Angel started. Or it's certainly possible. I'm wondering if Spike was someone similar to a Ford who willingly wanted to be made into a vampire or something.
That I can see. That I can see.
Yeah. So this is like a huge revelation and very interesting in maybe terms of lore, like, and the family tree.
Drew became like too much for Angel to handle. So he was like, you need your own little plaything.
Or he could have gotten the soul at some point, and that's when they cut ties.
Yeah, maybe. We'll figure it out eventually.
At some point, yeah. But he, for now, he wants to focus on Ford, and he says, he said, listen, he's like part of some weird society that like is obsessed with vampires. Like, you absolutely cannot trust him. And yeah, we don't hear Buffy's reaction to that, but we are at school the next day and Ford asks if Buffy wants to go out. And he's like, oh, I have something. It's a secret. Let's meet there at 9. And he's like all excited, and Buffy looks pretty suspicious about this whole thing. And luckily for Willow and Xander, they don't have to lie to Buffy anymore, because Buffy already knows everything that Angel was doing mm-hmm. to go behind her back about Ford.
Yeah. She does sass them a little bit. She's like, she's understandably annoyed with them yeah. that they all had a play date without her.
Yeah, I do love Willow saying that her and Angel have a forbidden love. Silly. It's like, yeah, you do tell Xander that, please. Mm-hmm. So Ford goes back to, what is it, the Sunset Club or something like that. And he's celebrating. He's like, oh, I've taken care of it. It's happening tonight. And they're all, oh, we're ready for the change, right? They're all excited. They want to be changed over into vampires. And Buffy comes downstairs and she thinks that she's gotten one over on Ford because she's there early. She's like, oh, I just couldn't wait until tonight. And I knew something was really, really wrong when Ford says to Diego, I think he says something about like, oh, it's drafty in here. Can you like close the door? I was like, uh-oh, that is not good.
Yeah, she got.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew that she would catch on to him, so he actually figured she would come here early, and then all the doors only open from the outside, so they just have to wait until sunset for the vampires to come.
It's terrible. Terrible. So, yeah, she walked into Ford's trap because he knew that she was going to figure it out. And basically just like lured her in.
Yeah. Yeah. And Buffy is like, Buffy is very frustrated because she's trying to save these people and save Ford. And she really just doesn't understand why he's even doing this. We see the vampires kind of getting ready for the night's festivities. This is so fascinating. What did you make of Ford's revelation that the reason he's doing this is to make himself immortal because he's going to die in like 6 months?
I felt bad. I was like, oh, this makes sense. You know, like, he has some sort of, I guess, cancer or something. I'm not quite sure.
And yeah, I think it was maybe like a brain tumor or something.
Yeah, I felt bad. Like, and I just kind of was very sympathetic and like, you know, he's like, in time, I'm going to not look the same. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be bald. Like, he was like, and I just want to stay young and beautiful. And I like really felt for him, and I understand. And it's like, you know, that's like kind of like the gift of immortality. Like, he had like a quote unquote reason, and all the other dummies were just dummies that wanted to be vampires because they thought that it was like cool and rock and roll. I mean, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I was of two minds. I mean, I felt awful for him when he says, like, try vomiting for 24 hours straight because you're the pain in your head is so intense. Like, it broke my heart. And I mean, like, cancer is a really tough subject for me. And so, like, I really felt awful for him going through that. But I really liked how the show handled it. Because Buffy, you could tell her heart is broken for him, right? This was like her friend, and she feels awful for him. She had no idea he was going through this. And yet what he's doing is also so wrong. Like, he's not just jeopardizing his own life. He knows he only made a deal for himself. So he basically is saying that the whatever 10, 20 people in the room, their lives don't matter and that they deserve to die. Cause that's exactly what's going to happen. And he seems to know that. So
yeah.
What he's doing is not great. Like she says, you're basically like mass murdering these people. It's not right. You can't do that just because you want to live. Obviously it's really awful. Like what he's going through, and he thinks this is his only choice. But the bigger problem is Buffy tries to tell him, you're not going to be you anymore. Like, I know you think this will give you immortality, but what good is immortality if you lose who you are as a result?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem to faze him. Like, he really had his heart set. And the other vampires basically were able to just, like, go ham and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, take who they wanted.
Yeah, and they get
a bunch of chicky-punchy, punchy-kicky.
Yep. And I love the move. So Buffy sees Drusilla like in the corner and she just does a nice big old leap right up there.
It was so smart. It was so smart. And she was like, Spike, you know, let these people go and I will let her go. Mm-hmm. And if not, like, her ass is grass. She's gone.
Yeah.
And she knew it. Like, and like, Drusilla's too weak to fight back at this moment. And she can't really do anything. And Spike knows
he really
that.
Shouldn't have let her. Spike should not have let Drusilla come. But, like, I think she's like, I'm hungry. I want to see. I think he has a really hard time saying no to her. Like, that is – he is her – or excuse me. She is his Achilles heel. His kryptonite. He can't say no to her.
Yeah. How could you say no to Drusilla?
I love it. I think it's so interesting to have – not just one, but two villains, and to have them connected in this way and so intertwined that it is a huge weakness. It's a huge blind spot for him. And not only that, but like we've seen the family tree, like it's so incestuous and like complicated that it makes everything that much more heightened and intense and scary. And I just love it. I love them as the villains of the season. I think they're really so fascinating.
Yeah, they're very cool. They're very, very cool.
Yeah.
So this works. This does work.
Yeah, Buffy's able to get out. Yeah.
Yeah. They survive this. And basically she leaves, but the door closes behind her and they're trapped in the basement. And Ford is there and he is like, basically, Spike is like, you are fucked. We are stuck in the basement. And he's like, hey, I made my end of the deal. You know, like I brought you the Slayer. You're the one that effed it up. And basically, we don't quite see what happens to Ford, except that Buffy comes back and finds his body. But I think they know, because once they bring him to the graveyard, they wait for Ford to come back as a vampire and then slay him right away. Yeah. And Buffy is like really shaken by all of this because I think it's like having to she knows like he was a friend of hers. Like she has to like kill him because of the vampire-ness of him and that like there's going to be like these heavy stakes and repercussions for her for this job. Also people that she loves get like put into tough spots all the time.
Well, yeah, she says like this whole thing is just getting more and more complicated. I don't know who I should love, who I should hate, who I can trust. Like right? She trusts Angel. Then it turns out he's a vampire. Then she trusts him again. Then he's like alone with Drusilla and lies to her about it. And then someone from her past, like Ford, who it's like, there's no reason not to trust him. They have this like foundation of friendship. And then it turns out, no, she can't trust him either. And she's forced to kill him in a way, right? Yeah. It's also complicated for her. And I really liked Giles being here for her. I like the choice to have it be Giles and not Willow or Xander.
Just them. And like, he has like a way of like making things like kind of lighthearted and like jokey, and he's like, yeah, like everything's gonna be fine, we're gonna have like a happy ever after, or like you're gonna be like a Disney princess, like everyone's gonna be happy and survive and we're gonna kill the bad guys. And she's just like, Giles.
He's like, oh, this is just like growing up, this is just a part of growing up.
This is a part of her growing up.
No, but I think he has a point in saying that learning to trust people, especially with like romantic relationships, that's super complicated. And it doesn't get easier as you get older. Sure. You get a little bit more wise when it comes to relationships, at least you'd hope people do, but it never really gets easy at a certain point. And her life certainly is not going to get any easier. I really liked the way they ended this episode. I felt like they ended it on such a strong note of just Buffy and Giles having a little bit of a like back and forth. This actually felt, speaking of the movie, Sarah, I felt like their little quippiness back and forth here did kind of remind me of the Buffy Merrick thing from the movie.
It did. I agree. Yeah. Which I really liked. Absolutely. Yeah, me too.
This is a really strong episode. And I guess like we're a little spoiled in that I feel like whenever we have a guest scheduled to come on, I just like automatically know it's probably a good episode. So when we don't have a guest, I just like assume it's like a more meh episode.
I don't read into it like you do. Probably because I'm not the one that's reaching out to the guest.
Yeah, I have the schedule. Yeah. Yeah. So I just wasn't expecting. And again, like I said, I feel like this was common in Dawson's Creek and like almost every show we've covered, where when you have a really good episode like Halloween, it's really rare that then follow-up episode is really impressive, unless it's like a two-parter or something. But I really like this episode. I feel like not only did we get really great background information in terms of Angel and Drusilla and Spike, it also felt like an important episode for Buffy in terms of trust and relationships. Yeah. So it was just overall very fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some feedback. I mentioned her earlier. We got an email from Joy. So the very first line she talks about in her email is about like the sneakiness of Drusilla, going in to whisper into Angel's ear at a certain angle to make it look like she kissed him.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Joy also says Giles and Miss Callender are so adorable. I definitely agree. I love their relationship. I think it's cute.
So cute.
Yes. The next installment of Buffy's Creek brings us Ford, aka Chris from season 2, and a new guy in the mix means Xander is weird and jealous, of course. Yeah. Didn't miss that. Ugh. I love how Buffy acts like a teenager, terrible communication skills, jumping to conclusions, and Angel being caught in a lie, but not realizing it. So he's very confused. Yeah.
Himbo status, such a good like guy with the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Joy says Ford already knowing about vampires shocked her the first time she watched because she didn't see it coming. Of course, I also didn't see him being the bad guy. So just shows my observation skills, I guess.
Me too, Joy. Me too.
Yeah. We don't see Willow and Angel scenes too much, but they're always so good. She's all awkward, but still being a good friend to Buffy while also being a good friend to Angel. And Angel opens up a bit, a change of pace from honing his brooding skills.
Yeah. A+. Love that scene. My favorite scene of the episode.
Yeah. The comedic timing on this show is the best. Angel saying those people don't know anything about vampires and then one of them dressing exactly like him is genius.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was also a great part.
Mm-hmm. Spike and Drusilla are at it again, and I love every scene they're in. We get a bit more backstory of Drusilla and we get an inkling of just how bad Angel was without a soul. I hope they continue this. I don't know, Sarah, do we think they're going to do a flashback? I hope they do.
Oh, yeah. I do think that they're going to do a flashback, and I think it's called Angel the Show, and I think you're supposed to watch that.
It's how I feel about that.
That's what I, that's what I think. When we'll get our flashbacks.
Usually there's a real world correlation with whatever supernatural bad that is happening in an episode, because high school is literally hell in Sunnydale, but I'm not sure about this one. Maybe it's a commentary on cults. The way those kids revered the lonely ones while not actually knowing anything about them is kind of sad. And Buffy using Drusilla as leverage against Spike was such a clutch move.
Very smart.
I agree. I think this episode is pretty solid and sets up some stuff for later in the season. And while she's not in it much, I'm so happy you guys love Cordelia as much as you do. She's amazing.
Cordy is great.
Yeah. I'm really, she wasn't really in this episode much, but the, I feel like the amount that we did get of her was like, what we did get from her was perfect, you know, the Marie Antoinette stuff. So yeah, thank you, Joy, for sending in that email. If you want to send us an email, shit90spod@gmail.com, or go on our website, shit90spod.com, and you could send us all your feedback. We love to hear it. I'm so super curious because I know a lot of people love season two. And so far for me, it's been like the highs have been very high, but there's also been some questions or some episodes where I'm just like, okay, this one's fine. So
like what?
Well, like Inca Mummy Girl, you know, that was like, whatever.
Sure.
Not my favorite. Reptile Boy was a little ridiculous.
I'm not complaining.
No. Would you like to know what next week's episode is titled?
Yeah.
The Dark Age.
Uh-oh.
When was the Dark Ages? Was that, could that possibly be another
I feel like it could be. I feel
early like Middle Ages. So it could be Drusilla thing, an angel thing.
I think that's too early.
Oh. I don't know anything about history. Yeah. That's the episode. We also obviously are still doing Felicity coverage. Go check that out. And as we said before, we recently covered the Buffy movie. If you want to check out that podcast, Sarah, what else do you have going on?
Lots of stuff over at Whirlwind Pods. You and I are covering Pretty Little Liars Original Sin and everything else. You can just follow along on Whirlwind Pods.
Incredible. You can hear me also on Talkin' Shit, where I talk about Schitt's Creek every week. And that's about everything. So stay tuned. Next time we will cover season 2, episode 8 of Buffy. And until next time, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.